We'd like for you to know that you are special and loved by the God who gave his own son, Jesus Christ, to redeem mankind to himself. So you must not fear. Because of Jesus Christ, there is hope for all of us, you and I. And today, Edmund Speaker is, Edmund, you're going to speak with us about how we can best experience the presence and comfort of God in circumstances that are tough and challenging. Mm-hmm. And I noted that your theme is Open Your Mouth Wide. So I'm rather intrigued by the title of the message, Open Your Mouth Wide. Tell us, what's on your mind?
Well, today I'm speaking about something that is a challenge to me, and I assume to some of our listeners as well. I'm a rather private person, and to express the deep emotions of my heart doesn't come naturally. Mm. My wife, Mali, she's a Brazilian and is much more prone to show her emotions. She has challenged me many times to be less formal. She has been comparing the behavior of the Brazilians and the Germans when it comes to playing soccer. And while they play so differently in style and technique, they behave quite the same when it comes to celebrating the goal of either team.
Right.
So at that point, the Germans and Brazilians let go of their emotions.
Well, there's certainly no doubt about that, I think, for any nationality. Mm-hmm. It seems that when people are together and sufficiently excited or motivated, they can erupt very spontaneously into a variety of incredibly deep emotions.
Yes, speak about it. During the Second World War, the Nazis used mass psychology to manipulate the German nation emotionally. Mm. Under that totalitarian regime, the media was completely controlled. People were brainwashed with the ideology and the lies of a madman. His leadership team intentionally exploited the nations on the emotional level, mm-hmm, as they were strategizing for that terrible, terrible war.
Well, Edmund, could it be that I know that in the case of my wife, she's been through a lot as well, and there are things that have traumatized her. Mm-hmm. Have you been somewhat traumatized by that experience during the Second World War? And perhaps is this the reason why you shy away from showing deep emotions in public?
I have thought about that many times. There is no doubt that the flashbacks from that war keep the destruction of those days, mm-hmm, still very vivid in my memory. But then that is not all. In those same days, I saw in the life of my mother and other believers the reality and the power of faith. I remember the day we were in a refugee camp, literally starving, and how the Lord answered the prayer of my mother for food. Mm. And also remember in moments of extreme pain, when my 5-year-old sister was killed by an army truck, how the Lord kept mother's sanity and gave us hope in those dark times. Yeah. And there's a biblical mandate to praise God, not because of circumstances, rather because of his character. He's holy and perfect. He seeks us with such amazing love. He gave his only son for the atonement of our sin. He preserves our lives and brings us to himself in order that we might experience a freedom and perfect peace that the world doesn't know. So we have reasons to praise. And when Psalm 81:10 says, I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Mm. I think we must listen and obey.
Right.
So praise and trust go together. Praise is not about an emotional high, though, rather about a willful act of worship. Praise requires faith and submission. This doesn't take away from the fact that God is beyond our understanding and therefore seems rather unpredictable at times. But even when we wonder how he can allow things to happen that really hurt us or upset our worldview and invade our comfort zones, he still knows what he's doing. We read in the Bible, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Nobody likes to be crushed, to be helpless, vulnerable, stressed out, out of control. I certainly don't. I like to be in control. But maybe that's exactly the crucial point. Only as I relinquish my right to God in trust and allow him to control my life, will I experience real freedom? Mm-hmm. Well, some people are slow learners, and I include myself. And in the Old Testament, we learn, however, that Moses was a slow learner, and certainly the whole nation that he was trying to lead through the desert. Only Joshua and Caleb made it to the Promised Land. Desert is a tough place to be, but that is where the chance to trust God is the greatest. And dear friend, if you are living in such a place right now called desert, I encourage you to trust the Lord. When God makes us uncomfortable, makes us sweat and walk around in circles, when we might be longing for the good old days, He still has a higher purpose. He told His people in the past, I lead you, or I led you through the desert to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep my commandments or not. And what is in our hearts? Trials help to reveal it. Trials are part of the refining process. God wants to refine us like silver and gold, bringing the dross to the surface. If you have accepted Jesus Christ by faith as your personal Savior, then you have become a child of God. And as His children, we have been called to be holy people, people who know and trust Him whatever the circumstances. That is not an easy lesson to learn, but it is essential. The people of Israel wanted to get out of slavery in Egypt, but they resisted to be freed from the slavery of sin in their own hearts. Mm-hmm. They stubbornly refused to submit in trust and love to the God who had saved them. And in spite of the amazing miracles in Egypt, the Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea, God's daily presence in the column of fire by night and the cloud by day, they still did not trust.
Right. You know, Edmund, I think most of us know that story so well, and I am no different. I've wondered how anybody could so conscientiously resist God's leading. But then again, I think about myself, and who am I to judge? We don't hear God speak from Mount Sinai anymore, but we have His word, the Bible. And how often do we neglect to hear God speak through His word to our hearts as well?
Yes, that's right. And let's be humble about it. How often do we as believers consider that a blessed life is one with all goodies that the world has to offer? Francis Schaeffer, in his book, A Christian Manifesto, addressed the issue of how so many so-called Christians don't make a difference for God because their main concern is their own comfort.
Right.
He says they live for bankrupt values of personal peace and affluence. And the Bible encourages us to open our mouth wide to God, to sing for joy to God, our strength, to shout aloud to the God of Jacob. God rewards such faith. Our deserts are temporary. Trials are never His final plan, but God wants us to grow in faith. He's faithful, and we can trust Him in our trials. Joni Itada, I think many know her, she's paraplegic, but she's a person who, after deep personal struggle, surrendered to God. Today, her mouth overflows with hope. My mother, now 92 years old, has gone through years of desert experiences and became such a joyful witness for the Lord. Her mouth is filled with God's praise in spite of sickness and age. Now, what about me? About you? Ready to surrender? God's word that challenges to open our mouth in praise also promises, you will be fed with the finest of wheat and satisfied with the honey from the rock.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.